Okay. You're good to go.
Okay.
All right, so let's roll and rock.
You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast. Your show for everything Butler basketball.
Oh, boy. The Bulldog season has finally come to an end. It was good while it lasted. Welcome to the Hoopcast. I'm Ari Castle, and the Bulldog season has ended. And there was really only one person to come and reminisce about everything that happened to look towards the future. Making his return appearance to the Hoopcast, Mr. David Woods. Mr. Woods, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ari. How are you doing?
Excellent. Were you in Detroit yesterday?
Yes, I was.
Do you have to drive there yourself?
Yeah, I got back in about 1:30 this morning.
So it's probably not a very fun drive back from
okay.
Detroit. No?
It was okay. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't know if you were, you get to flew on the team plane or something, but no.
No, I used to drive. I actually prefer driving.
Oh, well, perfect, because you're probably in for a lot of it then. So, Butler played Purdue yesterday. They lost. Bit of a heartbreaker, 76-73. What were your thoughts from the game? I mean, you had a new article on IndyStar that just came out. It's really well done. It kind of highlighted Keelan's kind of career, but it also talked about the game. I just wanted to hear kind of what you were thinking during that game and right after it ended.
Yeah, I had a couple of pieces on IndyStar.com. One's kind of comparing the Baldwin's missed shot came from the same spot on the floor from Hayward's missed shot, and then also I want to do something a superficial look at Keelan Martin's legacy, but I did not want that to go unnoticed because I'm writing something today on kind of looking ahead to next season.
Excellent.
But my thoughts were that Butler played well, I thought, and Purdue is just better. But as we've seen in this tournament, sometimes the best team doesn't win. And as much as a cliche as it is, I have seen, Butler generate so much March magic. It's hard to completely discount that after you've witnessed it so often.
Well, my whole thing was, before the tournament started, I picked Purdue to win it all. I thought they were so good. I remember them playing Butler just wrecking us. That was the memory that instilled with me. But when Haas went out, I thought with Haas, we weren't going to beat them. But without Haas, I thought if we played a really good game, we could beat them. And we put ourselves in the position to win that game.
Yeah, I think you were basically correct. Butler could have beaten Purdue. They didn't, but it was right there.
I thought, I saw a lot of people tweeting about this, but not a lot, I thought, is the coaching decisions in the last 35 seconds of the game really made me scratch my head. The decision not to foul there when you had the chance. I mean, analytically and statistically speaking, that's the only play. What Butler did, there's really no upside to it, because even if, so let's say the best case scenario is Dakota Mathias misses that three, there were 7 seconds left. By the time the shot goes up, it gets a rebound and Butler gets it, there's maybe 4 or 5 seconds left and you have to go the length of the court to score. There is no room for error. Why not just foul Purdue when down by two with 35 seconds left? They get a 1-1. They've been missing free throws. Extend the game. It seemed like the only logical play to me.
I guess it's an arguable point. I mean, you put yourself, in the possibility of going down by four, whereas if you just play defense and stop, you're down by two.
But even if you're down by four, then you still have 35 seconds to go down there and make a play, get a shot up, to get a good look at a two or three, and then you still have a ton of time left to do the fouling again and get a 1-1. What Butler did, it's such a slim margin for victory, because at the very least, you're getting the ball back with 5 seconds on the opposite end of the court and trying to go score. That is so tough to do. I think Laval watched his old team Michigan do it the day before and kind of got that idea, but I thought fouling there would have been a smarter decision.
I don't know. I think you can go either way on that, because if Mathias had missed that shot, Butler had 13 seconds to go.
Only seven, I thought.
He missed a shot with 13 seconds.
He shot it early. All right.
And then, so, because he was open at the time. And then, you have plenty of time to get down and get a decent shot. And Laval, I think, wisely, and we've actually seen more coaches do this, are not calling timeout.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
And entrusting their players to go ahead and make a play. Because if you do call timeout, you just let the opponent set up its defense.
I would agree with you. I'm a big fan of not calling timeout. I tweeted out from the Hoopcast account.
I think it depends on who you've got on your team.
Oh, absolutely. I tweeted out a few days ago, what grade would you give Laval as a coach for the season? And did a poll. The overwhelming majority, people said B, which, I think is... is fair. I think with Butler's inconsistencies, a B is fair. But I mean, I think back to the beginning of the, if you had asked me a year ago and they said, I said, Mr. Woods, 1 year from now, Butler's going to graduate 6 seniors. Their entire coaching staff is going to be gone and their top recruit is going to be gone. How do you think they're going to do? And I told you they're going to make the tournament. You probably would have said, what are you smoking?
Well, I think, you know, I thought that they had a chance to make the tournament, but it was going to be because when you have two players as good as Keelan Martin and Kamar Baldwin, you have a chance. But it was, you know, it was going to be a tough pull, and it was a tough pull. But I think, you know, I think Butler achieved a lot this year, even by getting to the tournament and winning a first round game. And yeah, no, they didn't make the Sweet 16, and you know, they had a heartbreaker. What was it? 3 years ago to Notre Dame. In overtime, mm-hmm. and almost made the Sweet 16. But still, I mean, you're not talking about, you know, Duke, you know, North Carolina, Kansas. I mean, Butler's sum has to exceed, whole has to exceed the sum of the parts, and they've often done that.
This season, in my mind, is no doubt a success. Like, to make the tournament with a new coaching staff and losing 6 seniors, I mean, the work that they did, I think, is really understated. Were you tweeting at someone today about the shot not going off in time for Kamar's last shot was like on his fingertips?
Oh, a couple of people were wanted to challenge the fact. Well, you know, don't even run about the last shot because it wouldn't have counted anyway.
I didn't think he got it off in time.
And you know, I saw some. I have a screen grab that shows the ball out of his hand with a tenth of a second left, which means it's okay.
There you go.
And someone else sent me something else. The referee there signaled good, and they would have reviewed it. But who knows what would have happened? I did not think it was worth getting into a trolling contest over.
And, well, see, that's where you and I differ, because I love trolling. I'm just kidding. People, don't troll me. So let's talk about Keelan Martin. Again, you had an article in the Indy Star today about him. You said he goes down as, you know, all-time, what'd you say, in the all-time starting five for Butler?
Yes.
I would agree with you there. I think since I went to Butler in 2010, so I've been a fan since then. In my Butler fandom, he's the best pure scorer I think Butler's ever had. In the history of Butler, I refer to your judgment. But would you not say that he's the best? Like, if you, in the history of Butler players, and says, someone go get me a basket, I wouldn't pick anyone over Keelan Martin.
Well, I don't know. The Billy Shepard averaged like, you know, 25 and 27.
That was a little before my time.
In the and I wasn't covering the team then, but he's the most prolific scorer Butler's ever had. But certainly, considering he was the scoring champion of the Big East, you know, not the Midwestern Collegiate Conference. And in league play of the 7 major conferences, only 2 players in the nation scored more points per game than he did. And fairly efficient. I mean, his 3-point percentage was really good. I'm going to go back and look up, too. I think in his 18 Big East games and 4 postseason games, I think his average is like 23-plus. That's awfully good numbers over a large body of work. And, you know, obviously Butler would not have been in the game against Purdue without Keelan. And I continue to be baffled by his kind of lack of national
recognition. Oh, my God, I know.
I guess it's because, you know, Xavier lived in the top 5 all year. But, you know, Trayvon Blewett is a really good player and a really good scorer, but he did not have as good a season as Keelan Martin did.
Yes.
And Blewett is on every All-America team, like second team or third team or something, and Martin is invisible, and I just don't think that the evidence supports that.
It's one of those things where I think if you flip Butler and Xavier's records, if Butler had Xavier's record, I think not only is Keelan Martin an All-American, he might be National Player of the Year.
He would be a candidate. I mean, he was one of 3 unanimous
Big East
picks, and Brunson could be the player, the National Player of the Year, and Blewett is on every team, and it's like Keelan Martin, you know, plays for Baltimore University,
UMBC,
Baltimore County, or something. It's just
yeah,
weird.
the lack of love is discerning. But I do need to talk. You and I have a disagreement on this, and we've texted about this before, because since he was a sophomore, I've said this dude is an NBA player. Like, he is going to get drafted in the second round. I'm so confident about that. You, on the other hand...
Well, I hope you're right, but I just that the NBA people I've talked to, which is not very many, don't think he will be drafted.
Listen, I don't think he'll be a star in the NBA, but like his game would translate so well. I think that's literally the definition of taking a flyer on a guy. Like, I'd take him over Blewett in the NBA draft without question.
Well, here's the, and I think I would too. You know, neither one is a great athlete, but Keelan is a little taller. He is stronger. His 3-point shooting is good and continues to get better. You kind of maybe need a little project ahead a little bit. And one thing I thought what he really got much better at this year was his passing. You know, he'd have games when he'd have a lot of assists. His just overall court awareness was better. He still turned it over sometimes when he tried to take the ball to the rim, but he's so thick and strong and worked on so many various spin moves. He obviously did a lot of work in the offseason because he was able to put up and make shots that were kind of odd looking.
Yes.
But in hindsight, I think he practiced those kinds of shots a lot. You know, they were like, you know, looping one-handers. I mean, he's just a bucket getter, and NBA needs bucket getters.
He cleaned up a lot of Butler's messes this year when a play broke down or things weren't going their way. I think next year people are going to realize just how good Keelan Martin was.
That could be valid, all right, because I'm not sure people get it.
No, he is that good, and I just think next year let's talk about next year. You got a roster of, you know, Paul Jorgensen, Aaron Thompson, Henry Badley, Kamar, McDermott, and Fowler all returning. But losing Keelan is such a massive loss, and it's really going to be obvious, I think. If you had to pick someone to step up, besides for Kamar Baldwin, like, next year's a big question mark for me.
Yeah, it is for me, too. In fact, I'm writing about that now. I'm saying LaValle Jordan will probably be a better coach in year one than year two, but his team probably won't be as good.
You mean in year two?
In year two. of his Butler tenure. Yeah, but I just don't see... You know, you realize now the Big East collectively might take a little bit of a step back,
for sure.
And that could help Butler. But it's just hard to putting together some lineups and thinking and looking at that. Is that an upper division Big East team? And it doesn't look like it to me. No. Now, having said that, no team is in greater need of a grad transfer than Butler.
Well, yes, thank you.
And I think it actually would be a desirable destination. 6'6" Ryan Taylor of Evansville is one of those who would be immediately eligible. But at last count, 22 schools had contacted him. So and including Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Ohio State, UCLA, Arizona. So I don't know if Butler would have any shot at all. But it still could, and Butler also gets Jordan Tucker back at the semester. But who's to say that Jordan Tucker would outperform, you know, Sean McDermott or Henry Badley or Christian David? I mean, I don't know if he would or not.
Butler fans see the 50 next to his name because he was a top 50 recruit or whatever. But he didn't play at all in Duke. And people say, well, there was some great competition ahead of him at Duke. And I say, if you can play, you'll play. Kamar Baldwin was a 168th recruit. If he were at Duke, he would have gotten on the court. Period.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
If you got 0 minutes at Duke, what indication is there that you're going to come in and replace Keelan Martin's points, which I'm seeing people saying he's going to average 15 next year? I say there's no way in hell. Maybe he'll be good, and maybe he'll average like 7 or 8 points a game, but temper expectations. I like the guy. He's got potential, but the hype train on him needs to hit the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly not the conductor on that hype train because I don't believe it. I think most probably Butler's number two scorer next year will be Nate Fowler.
You think?
Or Sean McDermott. Yeah, Nate'll get a lot of touches, and he's different from Weidman, and we'll just see how the Fowler Brunk center duo matches up to Weidman Fowler. I don't think it'll be as good, but you know, Joey was I thought performed pretty well when he did play, and Nate certainly had his moments, but I think they're going to be very dependent on Nate next year, and he talked about maybe a guy who could step up. I think Sean McDermott could be that person.
I've been riding Sean McDermott's coattails for a while now, so I'm all aboard with that. I think you nailed on the head, by the way, with the transfers. Like, you look at, I saw like Pittsburgh the other day has like 9 players already who announced that they're going to be transferring. I assume there's normally like 300 plus transfers, so I can assume there's going to be like 200 something this year.
But if you're merely a good player, I don't think Butler has any interest in you. If you are like the Missouri Valley Conference scoring champion and you're not a jerk, you know, then Butler is interested in you. It's got to be both of those things.
Well, again, I just think you don't need a superstar. Like, Butler needs a big in the worst way. Like, if you could get a grad transfer big who maybe isn't going to be dominant but could come in and give you like 5 points and 4 rebounds, like, that's fine. We need bodies in here. And I think that with the market opening so much, and I don't know if any Butler players are going to transfer. I mean, we might have open scholarships.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. I'm not aware of any, but I mean, there's no program in the country that can say that, well, no, I don't think any of our guys are going to transfer.
You know, you mentioned Sean McDermott as the guy. I think the sleeper.
Possibly a guy.
Sleeper next. Henry Badley, I think, is another guy who he made leaps and bounds this year with his ugly looking 3-point shot, but it went in.
Yeah, his shot looks horrible. And now I look at it and say, well, Henry's going to make that one because he's made them so often. And, you know, he's just so slender. You know that's a little bit of a concern, but so is McDermott. And boy, McDermott played very big yesterday. He got a rebound, mm-hmm. Rebound basket. I mean, he's had several games this year where he's had 7 or 8 rebounds. You know, he saved the Georgetown game. I mean, Sean McDermott is long and a good athlete and an accurate 3-point shooter. And if he stays healthy, you know, he could be he could have a real. I mean. Players do develop at Butler.
Yeah.
And remember, he has 2 years left.
Mm-hmm.
He's only a sophomore in eligibility. So, I mean, he may not be the most touted guy.
That's for sure.
Coming out of high school and had a, you know, a terrible medical scare in high school. But, I mean, you got to look at where they are now, and he's pretty good.
I mean, for a 6'7", all 110 pounds of him, like, I mean, he does phenomenally on the glass. And his shot selection is outstanding as well. Like, he is a guy who, you talk about unheralded recruit. There were people on the Butler Hoops board who were ready to throw this guy into the river when he committed. They were like, what is he doing at Butler? And I mean, look at him now. Like, he's going to be one of our most important players next year, bar none. And there's no question. I mean, double digits a game next year is not out of the question. He averaged like 7.7 this year with all the minutes opening up. You have to think he's going to be the second or third option every time down the court.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting, and it will depend on their roster how things evolve. Like, I really like Paul Jorgensen off the bench.
Oh my
although,
God.
You know, he started a lot of the year. So, I mean, Butler could, you know, go ahead and start the season with, you know, with the three guards, McDermott and Fowler as your starting lineup. That could be, I think they probably would be better off if they started with, you know, a Thompson Baldwin backcourt, you know, Fowler at center, McDermott and another wing as the 5 starters, and who that other wing would be is indeterminate. But I don't know. You can just say, oh, that's going to be Jordan Tucker once the semester's over. I don't know if that would be the case or not.
I mean, have you not lost? I mean, Paul Jorgensen came in really hot. Like the first non-conference, he was phenomenal. He really fell off in conference play. I mean, you think he shot 38% from the field and 30% from three, and I mean, I don't know if that's just a mental thing. Like, can he come back next year and really be a contributor? I feel like Butler fans are really soured on him.
No, I think he'll be. You know, he got Butler back in the game at St. John single-handedly, which was a pretty,
oh yeah, he has his moments.
Which is a pretty amazing feat. But I mean, considering that he was a transfer from George Washington and didn't even play that much for them, I think he's probably another Butler player who exceeded what you thought he might have been. That's why, even though I'm not optimistic about Butler's season next year, and maybe starting with Keelan Martin, like, who exceeded what you thought they could be? I mean, I would think Keelan was better than I thought he would be, as was McDermott, as was Jorgensen, as was Badley, as was Aaron Thompson. I mean, that's a lot of guys
overachieving,
who probably at least outperformed what you thought they might do, and that's,
well, credit to the coaching good. Staff for that. I mean, LaValle has a reputation for developing guys. I mean, you have to think that guys playing better than expected. I got to give him credit for that.
So, I mean, does not look like a, you know, upper division Big East team, an NCAA tournament team next year. But,
no.
You know, now we're talking here in mid-March, and things will look different in November, and things will look different, sure, you know, 11 months from now.
Have you been keeping track with Butler's 2018 commit, Marquise Hastings, at all?
Yeah, he's had pretty good numbers, and of course Butler had also pursued his his teammate, but never did offer him.
I think they're out.
I think they're still kind of monitoring him, but he's going to visit Duquesne or something, and I don't know that. You know, I don't know that Butler's still actively involved, but they have two scholarships available, and probably need to be pretty careful with how they distribute those. And certainly, maybe Butler takes two graduate transfers, and that would certainly change things a lot too. They have enough scholarships available to do that. They don't have to take just one; they could take two.
So, what are you? You told me you're working on a preview for next season. When are we going to be seeing that?
That should be online later today. This is Monday, March 19th,
and
it'll be in print Tuesday, March 20th.
When I assume at the Indy Star during Butler season, you have some sort of quota for how many Butler stories you need to do a week or a day or whatever. Is that, like, in the summer, do you have to do that too, or they put you on other assignments?
No, I do all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah.
During Butler's off season, a lot of it, you know, related to Olympic sports, but not exclusively to that.
So, to kind of wrap this thing up in a bow, to put this season in perspective, I mean, where does it, I'm trying to figure out, like, in the annals of Butler history, where this season would rank. Because I feel like it was one of those up and down seasons where I was frustrated, I was sad, and I was at the highest of highs. I just don't know. When we look back, we're going to say this was the beginning of LaValle's Jordan's rise, Butler's rise to dominance, or was this just the meh?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a good season, and I think probably time will tell. But I think it was certainly, you know, valuable for going forward. That if you're a recruit, you can see that. Well, you know, the coach at Butler, you know, got the team to the NCAA tournament, and they weren't that overwhelmingly gifted. You know, the guy must know what he's doing. You know, the guys seem to like each other. I mean, LaValle is very good, as you know, in building relationships. He just didn't have enough time upon arrival in mid-June to get so many relationships built that influenced the 2018 class. And we'll see if it does 2019 and 2020, because, you know, it's we're not in the Horizon League anymore,
no.
Toto, and it's a different deal. And I sometimes am not completely convinced that the Butler fan base understands that. There's still a lot of jumping off bridges after every loss, and it may be every bit as hard to go 9-9 in the Big East as it was to go 16-2 in the Horizon League.
Oh, without question. I think one thing you and I can both agree, well, knock on wood, is that Butler will probably not be losing a head coach this summer, which is nice. We have a habit of doing that recently, so I'm thinking we are going to be okay.
I think LaValle sees Butler as a platform where he can do a lot.
Hopefully it's a destination job, because I'm tired of, you know, well, has it been four coaches in 6 years or something like that? I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's been amazing that they've had six takes teams to the tournament in the 2000s, which is the most in the country.
That is the one thing people don't understand is, like, if any other school in the country goes through, loses Brad Stevens, Miller for 1 year, Holtman for 3 years, and then LaValle, and makes the tournament and misses the tournament one time in those years.
Yeah, they've made the 10 of the last 12 tournaments.
That is unheard of. Another school cannot go through that many coaches, that much change, as much tragedy has happened inside the Butler basketball family, and really not miss a beat. I think that's so understated, and, like, I think that's the most incredible part of it all.
And you see this, and, you know, Butler was, you know, once a mid-major program, you know, maybe still has a mid-major budget. When you lose a coach, that's when your you know, program plummets, whether it's, you know, Southern Illinois or George Mason or you name it, and you know, there's almost inevitability to it. And Butler has managed to maintain its identity, and then it actually kind of helps them really with recruiting, because there's kind of an understanding of what a Butler basketball player looks like, such that, you know, LaValle gets unsolicited information from people, says, oh, here's a such and such, you know, he looks like a Butler guy, or you know that guy's not a Butler guy. I mean, really, look, how many programs even have some kind of a template for that, and that's very, very unusual.
Mr. Woods, it was a pleasure, as always, to have you back in here. Do you have anything else the Butler fans, you can leave the Butler fans with before we head out here?
Maybe one small thing. I looked at the, you know, they start off the tournament in the Bahamas next year.
Oh.
And it looked like a really brutal field. But actually, I think of the eight teams in the field, which includes Virginia, Butler might be the only one of the eight that won an NCAA tournament game.
How about that, huh?
So maybe they won't start off 0-3 after all.
Mr. Woods, laying it down as usual. Listen, we have to end. I'll say IU sucks. Can you give me a go, Dogs?
I can say go, Ari.
No, you said go, Dogs last time you were on here.
I did?
You did. I have it on tape.
Okay.
You can mumble it. You can just be like, go, Dogs.
Okay, I can say go, Dogs.
Yes, there it is.